Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. This is the Jillian Michaels Show coming at you from TuneIn Studios in Venice, California. So the other day, I'm at Phoenix's basketball game, right?
Aww.
Little wiener dog.
That's adorable.
They don't keep score. That's real. It's real. Aww. Like, I was actually surprised. I kind of thought this was like a joke about modern day parenting, but I'd never been in a position to actually see it. They don't keep score.
Did you keep score?
He did. He was counting.
Really?
Yeah. And, wow. And I was like, why don't they keep score? And the kids aren't, half the time they're not dribbling, half the time, you know what I mean? And they're like, Phoenix, pass the ball. Phoenix, pass the ball. Then they made a pass the ball rule. Like, you have to, the team has to pass the ball 3 times. And it's like, until what? You don't keep score. The basket doesn't count. So, like, none of the kids are listening. And I was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Like, you have no consequences because you don't keep score. So no one can actually be penalized, but you don't take the time to penalize them for running with the ball and not dribbling the ball or not passing the ball. I had to go up to him and I was like, dude, if you don't pass the ball, they're going to bench you. Right. And then I had to tell the coach, if my son doesn't pass the ball, bench him.
Wow.
And he was like, but mom, you know, because like if the kids don't score or whatever. And I was like, but buddy, that's team sports. Like, if you don't want to share responsibility with another person, that's an individual sport. And unfortunately, the reason that this is such a good experience for you is because in life, you're going to have to work with other people from time to time. You know, whether they drop the ball or they don't make the basket. And sometimes you don't make the basket. It teaches you patience. It teaches you tolerance. It teaches you teamwork.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't passing the ball. I had to step in and tell the coaches. Like, they're so, for adults are so afraid. When do we become such pansies? Mm. Oh, what do you want for dinner? They're children. Like, decide what you want for dinner. And then, like, they can pick off of the menu from the choices you give them.
Yeah.
But it's like, then I'm at Lou's karate thing the other day. And she's like, mom, I got a medal or whatever. And I was like, everybody got a medal. And I love her karate teacher. Like, he's a shark. But everybody got a medal for participating.
Yeah, that I remember when that started, the participation award.
Yes.
Like,
and I was like, Manny. And he's like, I know, you know, but I, like, because I love him. He is hard on her. And by the way, I've had to give him permission to be hard on her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I knew she wasn't running as fast as she could run, or, and like, I was like, Manny, I'm telling you, that kid
She can run like the wind. She's got thighs like Serena Williams. Like, this is, you know, this is, she's not. And then he was like, nowadays, like, you know, you can't train the way you and I were trained. I'm like, well, I'm giving you permission to train my kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, where's the part where these kids are learning about grit and resilience?
Yeah.
And perseverance and digging in and fighting for what you want. So like, so then Phoenix gets hit in the face, right? During the basketball game. And I see him checking the lip for blood. And it's like, you know, okay, here we go. And my shrink, I remember a while ago, like years ago, nothing would be wrong, but it would be like, ow, right? And he, you're fine. And he's like, don't say you're fine, because you don't want them to start doubting. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's like, but, or making them question themselves, or how hard is it to say like, oh, I'm sorry, that hurts. You know what I mean? But like, they don't get out of what it is that needs to be done. So it's like, you can validate them. It's like, oh, you know, I'm sorry that you got a paper cut, you know, or whatever. But that doesn't stop them from having to do the dishes if they get a paper cut on their finger, right?
Yeah.
So he gets this little, gets hit with the ball or whatever. And he's like, oh, checking for blood. And like, and I was like, oh no. And there, down goes Heidi, right? Down she goes to the court. And I was like, please don't go to the, please. She's like, they can't play if they're bleeding. I'm like, he's not bleeding. Down she goes. So he was checking for blood. The next thing I know, she's walking him off the court. And she goes, he's done for the day.
Aww.
And I was like, the fuck he is. And I took his hand. We walked back out to the court. And I was like, no, this is a no. I'm like, shit happens, dude. You want to be in a team sport. I'm paying for this team sport. And this is not how this is. It was the last game of the season. And I was like, you're going to get in this game and you're going to play. Mm. And I was like, or let me tell you what's going to happen. I am not paying for this anymore. I'm not paying for any sports anymore unless you participate. And this is just not how we handle it. We don't quit. It's just not what we're doing.
It's an important lesson, too, about sticking in, whether you're winning, losing. You stay in the game.
And you know, Heidi's like, well, what did you want me to do? I'm like, exactly what I did. You know, and we just have such different parenting styles. It's staggering. And look, a lot of the time she's right, you know, but I think that like when it comes to stuff like this, she's just my baby. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
it's
very
difficult.
I can't imagine watching my kid get hit in the face with a ball.
But Cindy, like it wasn't bleeding, nothing. But
that's the same thing when a kid falls down and half the time they'll look up at their parent.
And then they start to cry.
And they'll wait.
100%.
And if the parent's like, you're fine, they're fine. If the parent's like,
Oh no.
Are you okay?
Right.
You're like, no.
Right. And so, you know, I was like, Heidi, if this is the game of life, our kids losing, like all the other kids are playing, our kids on the sideline pouting and he just gave up. Mm. It's not like we have a compound fracture. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, what is happening when, as, like, parents, there's no score. Everybody gets a medal. Like, I know this has been talked about a lot, but it's actually real. It's really
totally
happening. And they don't have, they're not building resilience.
Yeah, and isn't that the idea of playing sports and as a kid? Is
learn to lose.
Teamwork, learn to lose.
Yeah.
Learn to support each other no matter
resilience.
What. I mean, it's certainly not because you think that they're going to go into it professionally.
No.
I mean, I've seen children's sports, team sports.
Yeah.
Not a lot of talent there, but a lot of fun. And
yes. It's social. It teaches you how to be social.
Yes, absolutely. Communicate.
Yeah, but it's just like, I just can't believe it. And I see it so often of like, and it breeds an entitlement. Like, well, I showed up, so where's my medal?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I freaking don't understand it. I can't figure out if every generation, because I remember as a Gen Xer, we were slackers, we were like lazy, we were this, we were that, and like now we're the grinders. We're the ones that are like supporting the boomers and supporting the, you know, the millennials or the younger millennials as they come up, the 20-year-olds. And it's like, you know, disease. maybe it's these, you know, like maybe this generation Y, you know what I mean? These young kids, maybe they'll be way more in touch. I mean, my kids are very sensitive. They're very empathetic. But it's like, I don't know. You got to teach kids grit.
They're kind of part of what's weird is they're, I mean, it's Gen Z, part of the same as the kids with the Parkland shooting.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like they, where maybe millennials are saying, where's my award? They don't wait. They get in and they just make it happen.
They did.
They do it. They just, they're like,
they had
I'm
a
not...
great little energy. Maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe it's an individual thing. But you know who I blame for this younger kids? And even I blame us.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
Me. Like, what is happening?
It's a generation of parents.
It's this generation of weak parents afraid to parent their kid. Kids are like, I had a conversation with a marketing person. She's like, well, we don't really market to Gen X at all. I'm like, why? We're 50 over 50% of the buying power. And she goes, because you're not making any of the decisions.
Wow.
Well, you were there. Remember, it was at Amazon. And I said, what are you talking about? And she's like, well, kids are deciding what cars the parents are buying. I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
That's true. I've seen that in car ads.
Kids are telling their parents what cars to buy. Oof. Yeah, like this car's cool. This car has better technology. This is the computer you want. This is the phone you want. This is the, like, they're telling their parents like what foods they want, where they want to go to dinner, what computers, what phones, what cars. And parents are like, okay.
But that, you know, I also just saw something about how much time spent children with their faces and their phones and all that has made it impossible for them to read a book. Because their attention span
or carry a conversation
is not long enough. Yeah. Or yes, exactly. It's made it so that their attention span is shorter.
Wow.
They can't focus on reading the book. I mean, think about it. You're sitting down at dinner, and adults will check their phone. And it's like, it's okay. It's work.
Uh-huh.
No, it's not okay.
I know.
It's really not okay. I remember years ago being horrified, a whole family dinner, and you know, we're not all together all that much, and my niece picked up her phone, and I thought, like, you gotta be kidding. Are you, well, no, it's just I have to let her know when I'll be there. I'm like, but you're with us now. I totally know. It was foreign to me. And to
my
them,
kids
it's
get
a way of
pissed
life.
If I'm on my phone, and the only way I'm allowed to actually, I'll be like, it's mommy, then they calm down, because I'm like, I'm talking to mommy. Yeah. Trying to figure out what to do with you, like their schedule or their whatever. But like, they hold me super accountable for that.
You know, it's almost like what you could do is, okay, if we're going to do this during dinner, FaceTime her. You know, so like Heidi is actually at the dinner table and you're all discussing it together.
Yeah.
Maybe include them in it.
Yeah.
But, and that way it's also not like, because to them, it doesn't really matter probably. Mm-hmm. There's no like, oh, okay, then you're excused.
Yeah.
But if she's part of it, then
yeah,
I don't
that's
know.
A good idea. And I just think, like, we got to take control. We got to make our kids get back in the freaking game. We have to give them consequences if they're not listening, because in life there are consequences. Yeah. If you break the law, you go to jail.
Yeah.
If you screw up at work, you get fired.
Yeah.
We're not preparing them.
Yeah, you really have
We're
to.
We're not.
Yeah.
So
true.
To me, it's like, focus more on, for me, I'm focused more on, like, resilience and grit and perseverance and character and learning how to lose than I am about, yay, you showed up, here's a medal. No. Oh,
learning how to lose is so important because you can't. Because
I lose all the friggin' time.
Well, and you have to, if you have experience in it, you know you bounce back. If you don't, it's devastating.
Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere, You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian. What's the easiest choice you can make? Soup or salad? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From your online start to your first million orders, Shopify's there to help you grow. No matter what your product is, they can help you sell it everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, Shopify can help you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average than other leading commerce platforms. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Jillian, all lowercase. Just go to shopify.com/Jillian now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Jillian.
All right, so this is kind of interesting. I was on menshealth.com and I saw this headline, why you should be wary of body fat tests. So I was like, all right, let me see what these guys say. Now, off the top of my head, right, I mean, they're going to be inaccurate unless you literally are dissecting the human body and saying, okay, this is bone, that goes on the scale. Right, like this is.
I don't need a body fat test to tell me that I'm fat.
No, you're not fat. But the reason,
chubby.
The reason people like to
Husky.
Use it
pleasantly
now,
plump,
Rubenesque. The reason it's recommended, right, is it's like, oh well, you know, this the because you gain so much muscle when you train. Like I've had people say to me, like, oh, I didn't lose anything, but my trainer says I gained muscle, which is usually bullshit. But we'll get back to that in a second, right? So
Phil Heath, so, 3 pounds.
All right, of muscle in 1 year, the number one bodybuilder in the world. Natural, right? He's natural. Natural bodybuilder in the world is like the most, well, okay, yeah. Let me think. Like the number one guy, and he's like the most I put on a year is like 3 pounds, which if you look at 3 pounds of burger meat, it's a lot of, he's like, slap that on your body, but it's still 3 pounds in a year. Then somebody else came back and they're like, well, that's because he's acclimated to muscle gaining. And somebody who just starts out, you know, they're going to gain more. Like, based on what science? There's no science to support that. This guy is a champion bodybuilder. And God knows what's going on. You know what I mean? His anabolic hormones are through the roof, natural or otherwise. And he's 3 pounds a year, training, eating thousands and thousands and thousands of calories, lifting heavy, heavy, heavy weights. To gain muscle, you need a calorie surplus.
So that's...
To gain weight.
And that's saying the muscle... But what's that thing about, like, muscle weighs more than fat?
A pound of muscle is the same as a pound of fat.
A pound is a pound.
Yeah, that's exactly... I mean,
a ton of feathers, a ton of bricks. Is that what you're going at?
Yeah. I mean, I never understood that. Like, well, but muscle weighs more than fat. But...
If you're filling up the
density,
filling up the right, yeah.
That makes sense.
Right, exactly. So, but nevertheless, that's just not true. Like your average female on a diet working out is a on a diet. If she wasn't on a diet, if she was training for muscle gain, she would need to lift so heavy, so intensely, and eat so many calories to, quote, get big. And the perception of getting big, by the way, is just inflammation. It's like you work out, your pants are tight, it's because your muscles are swollen from the exercise. Mm. So it goes back down. With that said, gaining muscle and, oh, it's throwing off your fat loss on the scale, like, not really true. Water weight, sure, yes. You're holding fluid, yes. You're inflamed, you're swollen from the workout, you might have consumed more sodium, you might be that time of the month, yes. But, oh, I'm gaining so much muscle. No, not to throw off those numbers, right? So then you've got this body fat test. And, you know, for me, for years, I was like, well, I know it's inaccurate, but at least it's consistently inaccurate, right? Like, all right, you do the... You know, the bioimpedance, right? Like, oh, they run the electrical current through your body and it doesn't work
perfectly, but like, oh, you do it in a month. Is it giving you a better reading? And I used to believe that, like, oh, you do an IDEXA scan, which is the closest you can get other than literally taking somebody's body apart and weighing out their muscle, their bones, their fat, which is not an option. But what's interesting is that in this study, it says that it's not even good for consistency. So you've got the calipers, right, which pinches the body fat, and it's more of a prediction. There's no way of really knowing, you know, what your body fat is, but it's kind of a prediction based on this little test, right? So, okay, we know that the calipers are already not accurate, but is it a accurate measure over time? And then, so listen to this, right? Hang on, let me get to this.
Is that so it's like a baseline? So you consider like, okay, this was your baseline. Oh, now it's bigger, now it's smaller.
You're going to measure it for change over time, which I would have believed and have believed based off of the IDEXA scans that we would do on Biggest Loser contestants and a guy who, although I did not like Dr. Huizenga, I mean, he did run a sports medicine facility. He had an IDEXA scan and he graduated from Harvard. Now, here's what's interesting. So they say in this article, right, that while it's not accurate, you'd think it'd be consistent. In a study published in Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise, scientists looked at changes in body composition in a group of male bodybuilders. And they compared several body fat tests, right? Several types. So you've got bioelectrical impedance, which is like either the scale or the thing you hold on to, right? That kind of runs that little electrical current through the body. The technology used in body fat scales, which is what we talked about. And the standard against which body fat tests are measured. The researchers found that bioelectrical impedance was the least accurate of all the methods. And they said they got an error rate as high as 8% of the time. And sometimes it could tell you that your body fat is 20%. And then you eat and train right for a couple of months, cut your body fat by around 5%. But you go back for another test and it might show that your body fat percentage hasn't changed at all. Mm. Much of the same thing holds true for muscle growth. You could gain 5 to 6 pounds of muscle, which is just, I don't even know how they're saying that, but over months, right? It says months. But the scales might show you haven't gained any muscle at all. And then you come away with the impression that whatever you're doing isn't working, which is really dangerous if it is, right? So then what do you do? My answer to this is you got to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
And you got to gauge it on how you're feeling and what your fitness level is. If you couldn't climb a flight of stairs without getting out of breath and now you ran a 10-minute mile, that's progress.
Absolutely.
If you were in a size 10 jeans and now you're in an 8, that's progress. If you take a before picture, that's why I love before and afters. It's like, at the end of the day, you can see the difference. I don't care what that scale is saying to you. I don't care what the body fat's saying to you. I don't care. Oh, my trainer says I've gained so much muscle. What do you look like in the mirror and what is your level of fitness? And that's the true gauge.
And how do you feel?
How do you feel?
Yeah. And that's a great idea to take a picture because if you're with somebody every day, you don't notice the changes as they're so slight. But if you don't see them for a month and then you come back and see them, it's like, oh, wow.
And you look great.
And they're like, really?
Yeah.
Because they don't. You're living it.
You don't see it. It's exactly the thing. And one of the first things in the MyFitness app is like, hey, track your progress and take a before picture because you're not going to see, you're not going to realize. Like I was reading, a girl sent one in the other day and she'd lost 18 pounds, I think, from the 60-day program in the app, right? And she's like, oh my God, I lost 18 pounds. And because those ones that we go, the transformations, I can see them sometimes. Mm. So I was like, wow, I mean, she looks like she lost 18 pounds and or more.
Wow.
She looked great. Now, I like the scale, up, down, right, over time. Because at the end of the day, I use it as a compass. If we're a month into this and the scale hasn't moved, something needs to change. Week to week, no. But like, check it every week. Week 1, week 4, I use it because I'm like, well, this isn't working. Something's got to change. It should be going down. It's just science. It's thermodynamics. Like, so then we need to tweak your diet. You're eating too much or you're not moving enough, right? But if you get a false read on like body fat, a scale is going to give you an accurate reading. We know it's going to be like, you're 140 pounds. It's not a question. It's not guessing your weight. It knows your weight. But the body fat is a dangerous game because it is guessing And if you're getting errors and it's not reading it properly for a host of reasons and then you get discouraged, that's a dangerous game. And that's where I would just say exactly that. Before and after photos, you know, how are your clothes fitting? How do you feel? How's your level of fitness?
Yeah.
And that's the best gauge.
I like your gauge.
Thank you.
Okay, who's tired of fasting or cleanses that just leave you hungry and exhausted instead of rejuvenated and energized? Well, Prolon is the scientifically proven meal plan solution you've been waiting for. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science. Science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's five-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. I did it for 5 days because I've had the absolute hardest time with straight fasts for even 24 hours, and it was a game changer for me. So right now, Prolon is offering Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/Jillian. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian. All right. Everyone knows by now how much I love Skims underwear because I mentioned them a ton and I've been wearing them forever. I mean, I guess specifically a year and change. That's not forever in my life. I can stick with something for longer than 30 days. It's forever. So this is big for me. And let me tell you, they are worth the hype. From the support they give to their amazing shape. And best of all, they're super comfortable. Whether it's the weightless scoop bra, the fits everybody plunge bra, the fits everybody t-shirt bra. I just get them in sand. You don't see them under anything at all. They're awesome. They're comfortable. I don't even realize I'm wearing them. They go with everything. So shop Skims bras at skims.com now, available in 62 sizes from 38 to 46H. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. So after you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, we've got email time. Are we ready?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready for some emails? All right. So,
what the
heck? Hannah noticed that you are coming over to the UK for Women's Health Live.
Yeah.
And when is that?
That is May 5th.
All right.
In London. I'm sure you can Google it. I'm on the main stage, I think, on the 5th doing a talk.
She wants to know if there's going to be a meet and greet or if you're doing any other live events while you're there.
I'm literally in and out, unfortunately, but... I'm not sure about the meet and greet. I hate to tell you. It's
I'll tell you right now, I'm looking at the paperwork. May 5th, arrival time. Okay. It's from 3:30 PM to 4:15 PM.
Okay.
And you are literally in and out there. It's just the conversation with you.
The talk.
And there's no meet and greet.
Okay. It's a talk squad.
Sorry, Hannah. Allison has a question about, well, sure. It's about fat again. I have a very small frame and I'm pretty fit everywhere else in my body except my stomach. I've been mistaken for being pregnant at least 6 times in my life.
Aww.
I lift weights 4 times a week, do HIIT cardio sometimes after. I don't eat fast food, fried food, sodas, occasional chocolate snack, but what am I doing wrong?
You're not counting calories.
Mm.
I mean, you're talking about food quality, but you're not talking about food quantity.
Mm.
You know? So that's, you got to count calories. It matters how much you're eating.
And just from personal experience, if it's weird that your stomach is looking pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe go get yourself checked out by your doctor.
Yeah. Because you could be
a gynecologist.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, sometimes it's something serious. Sometimes it's just bloat, but.
Get it checked. 100%.
Good advice there, girl.
Yeah.
Scrolling through all the emails here, we have Amberlyn, who says, I've been reading conflicting things about carrageenan. Yeah, you know, I've highlighted this and I can't read through it. What's your thoughts on it?
You know what? There's a lot of misinformation about this, about carrageenan, I'll be honest. I haven't done in-depth research into it. I've heard everything from there are 2 different kinds of carrageenan, so it's a food additive, right? Mm. And you hear that it's from things like algae, so you think, oh, right, like it's a thickening product and it can't be that bad. And then some places will say, oh, you know, the undegraded form of carrageenan isn't bad. The degraded form of carrageenan can cause cancer or has been linked to cancer or can cause inflammation. Like, I don't even know how you would know which one is which. I got to be honest, because I haven't done enough homework, like how you could even determine. I'm sure it's a Google search, but it's also been linked to things like bloating and having like laxative qualities. People can get an upset stomach from it. And it has to do with something about like water, attracting water in the lower intestine. I mean, is it safe? I really don't know. And that's the sad part. A lot of people say, oh, it's from a plant. It's vegetarian. And it's in a lot of things.
Wow.
And this is where in particular, like dairy products or non-dairy products.
Oh, yeah.
And for me, I just, that's why I always say go organic with your dairy.
Mm.
Even the almond milk. I'm like, almonds have a ton of pesticides on them. And to get rid of all this added stuff, I mean.
That's true. I've seen it in cheese. Ingredients
got
in cheese.
Cottage
yes.
cheese, a lot of milks. I remember there was a whipped cream that someone had presented to me that was, it wasn't organic, but it was like more natural.
Mm.
And they were like, oh, you know, because I'm very into like things I know people love, but healthier versions of those things, right? So it's like, okay, well, it's like a Cheeto, but it's an organic Cheeto. So you're still getting the Cheeto, but you're not getting trans fats, MSG, artificial colors, you know, still shit, but it's not going to kill you kind of shit. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so because it's like, it's very hard to get people to give up things like that. So if you can get them to make the choice without all that crap, it's a better option. And I remember it had carrageenan in it, and I was just like, I can't. You know, so there's my thing is where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah. If you can't find anything on,
you know,
enough information.
And it's like, how do you know if it's been linked to these things and then there's one form and there's another form and it's not sure which form of the carrageenan is in there. And that's where I'm like, try to go organic with your dairy. You want to eliminate all the other crap in there anyway.
Yeah.
Antibiotics, hormones, and all that shit. So that's my answer.
Okay, then.
Oh, you're done?
No, I'm not done.
No.
I'm just trying to decide if this is Megan Joy one word or Megan Joy. Hey, Megan Joy.
Oh, no.
She would like to know, does kratom... It's a tea powder capsule. K R A.
Kratom.
T O Kratom.
I'm pretty sure it's Kratom.
K R A T O M. If it has beneficial effects on healthy users, is it helpful for post opioid addicts? And can it show up on a drug screen, or should it be avoided entirely? How could tea powder show up on a drug screen?
It depends. Like, all right, I am certainly in no position to answer this, but I can only tell you what I know. I'm not a doctor. I know it's not illegal. So I know that. I know it's like a plant that I think comes from Southeast Asia that may or may not have psychotropic, mind altering, right, you know, like mushrooms or whatever. I don't know. I've never taken it. I mean, I guess you can take it in like a tea or a pill or a capsule. I mean, they say, again, like, I'm not sure. Like, remember when you were a kid and it was like, oh, you smoke a banana peel?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, who knows?
I do remember.
You know
that.
What I mean? Like, it could be complete baloney. I don't know. I don't know if it's addictive. I don't know if it shows up on a drug test.
We don't know.
I mean, it was the question, like, how do I get off of opioids?
No, it doesn't help. Does it help for post-opioid addicts?
Jesus, I think you need a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
And a specialist. I certainly should not be effing around with, like, let me try to handle this shit on my own. Like, I remember people were taking St. John's wort when they needed Zoloft, man.
Yeah,
you know, this, like, psychopharmacology, people go to school for a bazillion years for that. They're doctors.
Yeah.
You know, don't be effing with your brain chemistry. Get a professional.
Yeah. I think that's wise words.
Thank you.
Two more. Laura wants to know, how do you feel about drinking beverages with activated charcoal? Mm. What are the benefits?
I just actually was talking to my girlfriend about this. There are negative side effects to charcoal if you drink too much of it. Hmm. It can cause constipation. I just looked it up, actually. Hang on. Because I was actually wondering, because she was like totally into it, thinking it was awesome.
Well, it's in everything now. Toothpaste.
Toothpaste, you're not swallowing it.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah.
I mean, we've done a segment on this before of like, you know, how it's a certain kind of charcoal from a certain kind of like clean burnt ingredient, so there's no like
not off your grill.
Yeah, right, like it's not toxic and whatever. But I do remember because I was like, I wonder, it absorbs, like, if you swallow poison, they will give it to you, right? But I was like, I was wondering if it would absorb micronutrients.
Oh,
like,
wow.
If it could be taking vitamins and minerals. So I know I looked it up because she, you know, was like, oh, I take these and whatever. And I was like, baby, take that a lot. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I know it can cause, like, it helps with, if people have gas, supposedly can help with that. Yeah, like runners,
you
if
do
you
that way
stitch,
too, LG.
People can take it. Hang on, side effects.
Yeah, how would it know? I'm only going to absorb the bad stuff.
Yeah,
the good stuff.
That's why I looked it up. Black stools, vomiting, or diarrhea, or constipation.
Those don't sound very nice.
That's on WebMD. I will say that I worked with an author who used to write for WebMD, and he was like, you know what? They're very well vetted there.
Yeah, I've always found, when I look around, I get a lot of Healthline comes up and WebMD, but I always feel good with WebMD.
He said they're very, very well vetted.
That's
like,
good
they
to
do
know.
A lot of work. Like, you, if you look it up, you can't diagnose yourself, but I think the argument is that if they're telling you, hey, these are the documented risks of this, they've done their homework, and that is, in fact, the documented risk. So I just, like, no.
Yeah.
No. I don't fully understand. Like, it's not a, like, for medicinal, if you've swallowed poison, sure.
Yeah.
But,
Let them give that to you at the ER.
Yeah.
Okay. Tiffany wants to know the difference between BCAAs and EAAs, because she said she's heard an argument saying negative things about BCAAs and positive things about EAAs. And if you could also explain to me and our listeners what those are.
You can't say negative things about BCAAs because BCAAs are in EAAs. So EAAs are essential amino acids, BCAA, branched chain amino acid. BCAAs are, I think are like three, I'm trying to remember, I think are like three of the aminos. They're not all of the aminos. EAAs are essentially all of them. It's kind of like saying, oh, these supplements. Like, I guess it would be like if you're taking a hair, skin, and nails product, right? So like, why do people take it? They take it for muscle recovery. Like, it helps to speed that up and muscle maintenance and whatever, right? Bodybuilders love it. It's a great addition to a protein powder. I think Alaya has it in their whey protein.
They do.
Yeah. So okay, right? So it's now EAAs, it'd be like taking a multivitamin versus a hair, skin, and nails product. Mm. So hair, skin, and nails, you're going to have like C, A, right? I don't know. You're going to have the antioxidants or whatever. You're not going to have like, oh, you know, vitamin K, and we're also going to get your copper in this one. Like, it's kind of it's all the from my understanding of it. So they're like, well, what's better? What's better? And I guess there was a study that I think she's talking about it. One study that was done, it was like published. I'm trying to remember. Wait, let me look it up. It's a Frontiers in Psychology, I guess. So they said they found that ingesting 5.6 grams of BAAs after strength training led to 22% greater muscle protein synthesis. However, a review published in the Journal of Internal Society of Sports Nutrition purports that you need an abundant supply of all the EAAs, not just the BCAAs, to stimulate muscle protein synthesis. These things exist in your food. Truthfully, you eat chicken or whey protein and they're in there, but you're just getting a boost. Same thing, like vitamin C exists in an orange, but you know, you're sick. You might not be getting all of it from your food. You might be vegan. You're not eating animal protein, whatever it might be. So honestly, like you're fine. You're fine either way. I think we're overthinking this, but if your goal in particular is bodybuilding, weight, muscle maintenance, whatever, muscle recovery, I mean, you're going to want a focused supplement. That's what BCAAs are, but you can also get it from food, guys. Animal proteins.
Food. Eat.
Clean food.